Welcome to Firm Foundation, an outreach of encouragement from New Covenant Church, Indianapolis, Indiana. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
And I want us to take a topic today. You see the screens. You've seen the message that says, "This changed everything." Say, "This changed everything." Referring to the resurrection of Christ, changed everything. And I endeavor to show you from the scripture and from examples in life and in science how that's true. Colossians 3, verse 1, "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Jesus' resurrection changed everything. And I thank God for that truth, because of that truth, that we can look at today many things in life that have resulted in dramatic change in the whole of life. And I think about, in fact, yesterday was Jonathan's birthday. Happy birthday, son. My wife and I are so honored and blessed to have four beautiful children. In fact, Christine's here today as well. The firstborn was Michael. You know this. Now, when Michael came into the world, when Pat gave birth to Michael, it was the most amazing experience of my life. Most amazing thing I ever witnessed was the birth of my first child. Now, my wife did all the work now. I just got to witness it, okay? And yet, we both rejoiced. And parents know this, and all of us who love kids know this, that experience changed everything. The first child. I never looked at life the same way again. After bringing life into the world, you never look at life the same way again. And then came along Michelle. And then came Jonathan. And finally came Christine. But God gave us four wonderful children. And their lives and bringing life into the world, my point is, that experience changed everything. Some things in your life change everything. Some experiences in your life change everything. I think about an example of a movie that came out in 2016 called Hidden Figures. And this film came out highlighting the untold stories of Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughn, Mary Jackson. And they were African-American women who were mathematicians. They were called human computers. They called them computers. They were computers. People were computers back then. They did all the calculations. And that they were responsible, as you learned, and we all found out, that they were a part of a team who were instrumental in NASA successfully launching John Glenn into space, into orbit. And that was the first for USA. And it began the dominance of our country in space exploration. Not only that, though, because what they did, what they were a part of, changed everything. Because now, everything from the GPS in your car to making a phone call on your cell phone, landing on the moon, it all came in part from what they did. That launching rockets, launching satellites, that whole communications revolution came about when three women and a bunch of other people working together figured out how to launch satellites and rockets into space. It changed everything. We call them hidden figures because most of us did not know about their contributions. I didn't know. And there are many more hidden figures and people who have done great work behind the scenes. But I suggest to you that the power of Jesus' resurrection is also a kind of hidden figure in this world. That is, we know about Jesus, heard about Easter resurrection, but many of us don't know what the power of resurrection actually is. It's a hidden figure to many, maybe to you. But like most things in life, when you discover it, when the light is shed upon it and your heart becomes illuminated by it, then you begin to see the significance of things, and now everything changes for you. Because the resurrection of Christ was a historical act. It was an event in history, but it became a principle and a power unto this present day. And there are many benefits and blessings of this, what we call resurrection power. Think about the Wright brothers. Wright brothers from Ohio, by the way, who were Christians. The dad was a pastor. And he inspired his young men, his sons, to dream and to be excellent. And they came up with the idea and the plan for inventing a heavier-than-air flying machine. Now, they had gliders and balloons, hot air balloons, but a machine that was not a glider or a kite, but heavier-than-air to propel it with power through a small motor and make it fly. That was revolutionary, obviously. So what they did, what they invented, sparked and unfolded and revealed what was called the power of lift. That is, you can put a certain amount of energy behind an airfoil or a wing, and so it will rise because of the way it's shaped. The goal called lift, overcome gravity. And now, as a matter of fact, the 747, a later huge airplane, the first Wright Brothers airplane didn't even travel as far as the lift of a 747. It didn't fly as half the length of a 747 on its first flight. And now, but everybody who understands the power of aviation and has the equipment and knows the science, even you could build and fly an airplane. Because once people have the knowledge, you can then use that knowledge. Once you discover something, it's yours. Amen? That's why we believe in education. We're so proud of our young people. We know once you discover who you are, and once you harness that power, nothing can stop you. Amen? Folk can try. You just fly over them. You got wings now, right? Fly. T.D. Jakes tells a story of giraffes. You know, giraffes have these long necks. They feed at the tops of trees. And one thing giraffes don't do is bring their head all the way down to the ground to feed on the ground. They feed up in the high trees. And the point he made to that was sometimes we get caught up. We fuss and we argue and we bicker. We get into strife with people over stuff. And yet it's like a giraffe lowering his head down to the ground to feed. No, listen, you're like a giraffe. Your head's way up here. You feed in the trees, amen? Don't bring yourself down. Don't lower yourself below where God has allowed you to live. Amen. Live in the place where God has called you. Now, so our text again in Colossians again said this. He said, if you're then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. There are three things he says. First of all, he says, seek those things which are above. Say, I will seek those things which are above. Like the giraffe eats from high trees, he doesn't graze in the field. He eats off the high trees. You should set your mind on higher things. Because Christ's resurrection power gives you a higher perspective of life. He allows you to be able to certainly comprehend things around you and appreciate what's around you and help folk around you. But you yourself are able to think at a higher level and seek higher things and better things for your life. Second, he says, set your mind on things above. That is to elevate your thinking. So I will elevate my thinking. See, when the Bible said, when Paul said here that we should set our minds on things above and seek things above, not things that are on the earth, he's not saying you don't have regard for stuff. You just don't, you understand what's beneath you and what's above you. I don't mean people, I mean things and stuff. You know what I'm saying? You don't let things complicate you. You don't become distracted by lesser things. The lure of lesser things is a big danger. Because if God said to you, seek what's above, if God said, set your mind on things above, then for you, the lure of lesser things wants to pull you away from what God called you to do. You ever receive that?
Yeah.
30 said, you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ. I'm dead. How am I dead? Well, you're dead in the sense that when you come to Christ, the old person dies. Now, you're already dead in terms of we're already dead spiritually without God. See, life is about being with God. And so, like, physical death is separation from physical life. There's also something called spiritual death. So a person who's not with God may be alive in a body but spiritually dead. So, but when you come to Christ, you acknowledge, okay, I'm dead. I'm dead now. Let me live in Him now. So then my life is hidden with Christ and God. I recognize my life is a gift from God. And all my motivations now can come from Him. I can be motivated by the better things in life. I can be motivated by higher thinking and better thinking and by love. And I can resist those temptations and the lure of lesser things. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Another scripture about resurrection power and how it changed everything. Again, these principles are what changed everything for us. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. Let's read together, please. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Why would Paul talk about resurrection when it was behind him? It happened before he came along and became an apostle and a Christian. So why is Paul talking about knowing Christ? That makes sense. But why is he talking about knowing the power of His resurrection? Paul said, that I might know Him. Who's that? Jesus. And that I might know the power of His resurrection. So here we're back to the principle that resurrection, it was a past event, but it's a present power. There's something to know about it. Paul said, I want to know this. I want to know Jesus and the power that brought Him back from the dead. He said, and to attain the fellowship and the fellowship of His suffering. That is how what suffering is. Suffering, by the way, suffering is not just being sick. Suffering comes when you stand against what you've been delivered from. For example, if you were a smoker and you quit smoking, smoking will not quit you. The suffering happens not when I keep on smoking. The suffering happens when I refuse to smoke again and the urge comes. The craving comes. And that's suffering. Suffering is like, oh, man, I want to drag so bad. Even though it's now $8 a pack. What did it cost now anyway? $10 a pack? Whatever it is. I mean, price keep going, people keep buying it. You suffer when you stand against what you've been delivered from. So in Christ, you learn how to suffer, and you learn that because of Him, you gain the victory, and you suffer for a season, and the suffering ends, and rejoicing comes. Amen. That's part of the power of resurrection. Amen. It's a present-day power. Y'all hear that?
Amen.
So Paul said, I want to know both. Another example. Let me give you an example from science now, a little science lesson about how everything has changed through what God has done. The Bible says in Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. So the heavens declare the sky, the star, the universe, everything, from our atmosphere to the starry heavens, all of that shows God's power. Because God is our creator. He made all things. And because that's true, in the Bible, God said, Let there be light. And there was light. But I suggest to you here today that when God said, let there be light, he was not talking about only visible light. There is more about light than what you see. Are you aware of this? If you're not, you will be soon, because some understanding you have, again, changes everything. Now watch a brief video here. This explains to you about when God said, let there be light, let's see what light is.
The electromagnetic spectrum. Light is actually an electromagnetic wave and is part of a whole spectrum of waves called the electromagnetic spectrum. The waves all have certain things in common. They all travel at the speed of light in a vacuum. How are the different parts different? Well, it's the frequency and the wavelength that change. Here on the screen is the electromagnetic spectrum. We have radio waves on the left. They have the longest wavelength and the lowest frequency. And as we move from left to right, the wavelength decreases and the frequency increases. Also, the energy the wave carries increases as well. Now, next to radio waves is microwaves. Then we have infrared, followed by visible light, which is in right bang in the middle of the spectrum. Then we have the high energy side with ultraviolet, X-rays, and finally gamma rays. Let's look some more at the lower energy half of the spectrum, from radio waves up to visible light. All these parts of the spectrum are used in communications. Radio waves are used for sending TV and radio signals, both short and long distances. Really short wavelengths are used for very short distances, and the longer wavelength for longer distances, as they can reflect off a layer of charged particles in the atmosphere called the ionosphere. However, radio waves can't pass through the ionosphere, so if we want to communicate with satellites, we must use microwaves, as they will easily pass through the ionosphere. Microwaves are also used in mobile phones, and certain wavelengths are absorbed strongly by water molecules and so are used to cook food. These are not the wavelengths, however, that are used in mobile phones. Infrared, as we know, carries heat and can be used in thermal imaging and for grills for cooking. And it is also used in communications, as is visible light, both being sent down optical fibers. So all these four lower energy electromagnetic waves are used in communication. But is there any danger in using them? Well, at the moment, there is no scientific evidence that any of these parts of the EM spectrum pose any danger whatsoever, apart from maybe getting burnt by infrared. Now let's move on to look at the high energy part of the spectrum. So what are these used for? Well, ultraviolet is used in sunbeds to help you get a suntan. And it's also used in special security inks because they absorb ultraviolet and emit visible light. X-rays, obviously, are used to look for broken bones in hospitals. And finally, gamma rays are used to kill bacteria in food to keep it fresh longer, to sterilize surgical equipment, and also to kill cancer cells in radiotherapy. Now, this is the high energy part of the spectrum, so there are dangers with using these. As you know, too much exposure to ultraviolet can cause skin cancer. Now, X-rays and gamma rays are even more dangerous, as they have enough energy to remove an electron from an atom, creating an ion. We call this ionization. And this can really damage cells and can actually kill them or cause mutations in them, leading to cancer. And that is the EM spectrum.
Okay, a little science lesson for you. When God said, let there be light, he was saying a lot, wasn't he? Amen. Yeah, we understand later the spectrum, the full spectrum of light. My point is this. In everything God does in your life, there's a greater spectrum than you realize. There's more to your life. There's more to God's word. There's more to the Bible, more to Jesus. There's more to everything than you sometimes realize. Just as you thought that light was just these floodlights on my face, light is the cell phone signal. Light is in the microwave that heats the food. The light is in the X-ray. It's all light, just different forms of it. Our eyes can detect a very narrow band. So then don't think that everything that you see or that you can see and hear and touch and taste and smell or think is all there is in life. And that's the real problem we have sometimes. We think our experience and our understanding defines everything. Not true. Not true. So we then look to the Word of God, look to God Himself, our Creator, to give us the full spectrum of what our life should be about. So in many ways, another example I'll give you, in the Bible story about surrounding Christ's crucifixion, Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor. And now this man was intelligent. He was rational. He was logical. Pontius Pilate is exactly like us. Competent, professional, had some authority. And so that he is like us in many ways. Now, in this story, we're going to read, let's see his first encounter he had with Jesus, how it went. Because here's a man, again, who is rational, intelligent, and logical, but has no idea about the full spectrum of what God can do and who Jesus is. He says this. Pick up at verse 33, John 18. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests delivered you to me. They gave you up." He said, "What have you done to these people?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Right there he's saying, my spectrum, my kingdom, no, it's a different level. I am a king, but not as you think. Now, Pilate thought, you a Jew, they're all Jews, y'all work this out. But no, Jesus obviously came, Son of God, Messiah. It goes on and says, verse 36, he says, "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would be delivered into your hands or to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." The Romans at that time had the mindset, man, we're it. We're the leading empire in the world. Whatever we say goes, and we're all that, and the bag of chips and everything. So you Jews work it out. And where you from, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are or where you're from. It means nothing to me. So he said this, "You rightly say I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Jesus speaking. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" He's logical. He doesn't know. He only has his narrow spectrum. Jesus is the creator of everything. The man in front of Pilate is actually the creator of everything. He has no idea who Jesus is. Well, he says, "And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no fault in him at all." He's logical. He's intellectual. And he doesn't care about the Jews and this maverick called Jesus. He don't care about these folk. But Pilate was under pressure from Caesar to keep that region under control. Israel was under the Roman Empire government. And the mandate on Pilate was to keep that thing under control. Because it looked like it getting out of hand between Jesus, his followers, the Jews, potential riots, civil unrest. They were imagining lots of things. And so Pilate, the Bible says, look at John 19 now. So what Pilate did was, just flippantly, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. I mean, beat him. Beat the flesh off his body. I mean, if he's done nothing at all, why are you going to beat him? See, this is how callous the Romans were. And how that even though Pilate was irrational and intelligent and logical, he had no clue about compassion or about truth. What is truth? He said, what is truth? I don't know what truth is. Verse 2, John 19. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. They mocked him, right? And they said, hail the King of the Jews. And they struck him with their hands. All this is going on. And Jesus is letting them do all this now. So Pilate, verse 4, so Pilate then went out again and said to them, behold, I'm bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Why'd you beat him up then? So just it's sick. It was sad what's happening here. But Jesus is all about God's plan. He's not suffering for what he's done. Hear me. All of Christ's suffering was for us. Because he took the penalty we could not bear. Verse 5. Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, behold the man. Therefore the chief priests and officers saw him. They cried out, saying, crucify him. Kill him. Bloodthirsty folk. Pilate said to them, you take him and crucify him. I find no fault with him. So, verse 7. Jews answered and said, we have a law. And according to our law, he ought to die. Because he made himself to be Son of God. Now see, there's no law in the Bible like that. They made up a law. Yeah. They made up a law. There were 10 commandments. They added 500 more. They had a bunch of laws they added, okay? Yeah, true. So they found one. Watch this, though. Verse 8. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid of uprising. And he went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you? I got power, he thinking. Yeah, I got power. And Jesus, now he spoke, Jesus said this. He said, listen, you could have no power at all against me except or unless it had been given to you from above. Now, here's the man with the real authority is Jesus, allowing the suffering, allowing the beating, allowing the abuse, because that was what his assignment was, to be the Lamb of God, our Savior. To take the penalty we could not take. But see the example of the spectrum. Here's the spectrum. Here is Pilate's little narrow spectrum of reality. And here's Jesus saying, you could have no power at all unless it had been given to you. No power over me. In fact, we know from different scripture when in the garden, later on in the garden, before this, in fact, in the garden, when he was suffering, when Judas betrayed him and the soldiers came to capture Jesus, and Peter rose up and took a sword and cut the ear off of one of the people there. Jesus put the ear back on. Wow. And said, put your sword away, man. He says, if I wanted some help, I could call angels. Amen. Jesus said, if I wanted help, I could destroy every Roman soldier in the whole known world. I could lay waste to Rome. Jesus had the power, y'all. He had a spectrum that they couldn't even understand. And so he said, put your sword away in here. Put the man's ear back on. And just let them capture him. That's power. That's some serious power. Come on, that's power. I'm talking about the name you get to call on. I'm talking about the name you can call. Jesus. I'm talking about the same Jesus, okay? He said, no one takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I got power to take it back again. See, Jesus is not under anybody's control. He's in nobody's. He's in God's spectrum, and he has all power. Now watch this. For he said, you have no power over me except what was given to you, and therefore the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. So the Jews who had the greater sin, those Jews were in more trouble than the Romans who obeyed the order. Now, I read this to you to highlight that everything Christ did was to bring humanity into a greater spectrum of light, to reveal a form of power that you don't see right now without Christ. And I'm going to persuade you with the examples I gave about the hidden figures and this science lesson about light. I want to persuade you to understand you're dealing with God and Christ who has all power. You have access to the one who has all power. You have been, if you're born again, you've been saved by the one who made all things and gave you your life and all that your life has produced, your intelligence, your logic. But don't let that get in the way. Don't ever think you're smarter than God. Don't make that mistake. He gave you your smarts, but he's still smarter than you. Say, God, you're smarter than me. I mean, it goes without saying, but let's just say it. Let's just stipulate. Amen. All right. So then Jesus did not come to save his own life. He could have, but he came to save humanity. That's the message. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Almost done. I want you to see the spectrum of God's light, of God's power, of resurrection power. And this verse here will bring the message home and the truth home to you. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul wrote this in verse 19, says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power?" In fact, read with me, please. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead." Stop. You see that? What's the exceeding greatness of his power? So what is this power toward us who believe? And he said, and the working of the power which he worked in Christ when he raised him. There's never been a more powerful display of power in the history of the world than when God raised Jesus from the dead. The man had been mutilated. The evidence, you've seen the pictures, seen the movies, you know how bad it was, how gruesome it was, how horrible it was. And even though he should have died at the whipping post, but he stayed alive all throughout the cross, carrying the cross, on the cross, all day on the cross, because he suffered that long to pay the price for all of us. So he worked this in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and keep reading now, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Keep reading. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, that's what you call it, spectrum, right? Say spectrum. Over every president, every governor, every Caesar. Amen, somebody? See, I respect everybody in this world. And I obey the law, and I'm a law-abiding person. Just don't challenge me in terms of righteousness. Don't demand I do something that's unrighteous. I'm still from a place like Christ. I have citizenship with God's kingdom as well as in my country. My point is, in you and in me, in Christ, we have authority to live victoriously. Even to live above all the lesser lures of our day. You have authority to set your mind on things above. You have power to make the right choices and to keep those choices. Amen? My wife and I last weekend celebrated 39 years of holy matrimony. 39, y'all, 39. Come on, give us some help. Help us in now. Come on now. Okay. I mean, some folk can't last 39 minutes, okay? It's the grace of God. It's the resurrection power. Because every marriage is challenged. The Bible says no temptation is taking you what is common to man. We've had all the same challenges. But we happen to have respect for one another, but moreover, respect for God. Amen. Respect for the light, the spectrum of light that we're living in. Amen. To overcome every challenge through love. Amen? Amen. To let love always prevail above everything else. Above everything else. because of the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So we, Pat and I, are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We can appeal to heaven and draw our resource and strength from heaven whenever we need it. Amen, somebody? Amen. And that's what the message is here, people. It's just whatever, wherever you are, whoever you are, resurrection power is not just an historical event, but a present reality. I invite you to recognize this truth today. I invite you to see how Christ has changed everything, the resurrection. Everything has changed. Everything is changed for your favor. Say this, everything has changed, in my favor, because of Jesus. Now, had he died only, that would be a tragedy. But he died and rose again. And that's victory. Didn't end in death. We don't preach his death only. We preach death and resurrection. Because that's where the power came out of, his resurrection. Amen? So you be encouraged today. You tap into that full spectrum. Open your heart and your mind to see that God has more for you. Don't settle for what you understand, what you've learned. You know, that's fine. Don't settle. Don't settle there. But reach for the higher. Put your mind on things above. Amen? Amen. Let Jesus take you to where he preordained you to go. He's already predestined your life. He's already blessed you. He's already made promises for you. He won't drag you over there. But he leads you, and he asks you to come. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us today of what many of us already know. But for some friends today, this may be new information. It may be something that they haven't considered before in this way. But Lord, just as examples we've seen today, and more importantly, when you said, let there be light, we thought it was just sunlight, moonlight. No, Lord, it's all manner of light. Because that's how big you are. That's how great you are. And so you sent Jesus, the light of the world, to shed light into our darkness, to dispel darkness, to bring light and life to us. And Lord, you did that. And we've experienced it. And I thank you, Father God, today on this celebration of your resurrection, that we can stir each other up and think about and rejoice in these great truths. That we can thank you, Lord God, that we can seek those things above because we're raised up with you. We can seek those things above because of what you've done. We can set our minds on things above. And because, Lord, you died for us, and then we died, and now our life is hidden with you in Christ. So we're protected, we're safe, and we're full of awesome potential because of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us. You've empowered us to do for one another, because all the grace we have received from you and from others is because of what you've done when you raised Christ from the dead. And now, Lord, like Pilate, we're not going to settle for our logic and our intelligence. We're not going to be content with that, but reach beyond our narrow spectrum to your full spectrum of light and truth.